Now, if you have your Bibles, will you take it to Luke chapter number 6 and verse number 43? And your Bible says, "For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For the thorn even..." No, that ain't right. "For even a tree is known by his own fruit. For a thorns of men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bushes gather thy grapes." Lucas, will you pray for us?
Lord, I thank you for another day of life. Lord, I pray that you come on over the power and spirit of God. Lord, I pray that you bring liberty into this place so that some man can preach the word of God. Lord, give him wisdom, understanding, the words you want him to say. It's in your son's holy name I pray. Amen.
Now maybe you see him. Well, I want to go back up to verse number 43 here. And I have your question. What is your fruit? Now, we're all trees, and... Well, you're all trees, and it talks about how you bring forth fruit. When I think of fruit, I think of how many people have you not just led to the Lord, how many people have you planted seeds in, how many people have you told the gospel, try to get the word out, is how I pursue, like, fruit. Is how many times have you done these things, try to help other people, put under your wing, under your branches, so to say. And I just want to think about fruit. How many people have you done, talked to, people have you talked to about the Lord? How many people have you tried to get fruit to hang under your branches? How many fruit do you have under your branches tonight? Now, what type of fruit do you have? Are you pursuing good fruit or bad fruit? What type of tree are you? You go down 43, it talks about your tree as you're known by your own fruit. What type of tree are you? Are you a corrupt tree or a good tree? Are you putting out bad stuff and telling people it's just one little beer? It's not that sin's really not that bad. You can dabble in it for a second, and it's not that bad. You're putting out bad fruit there. You're not growing no good fruit. You're only putting out bad. So I'm asking you, are you putting in good fruit? Do you have good fruit under your branches? Or do you only have bad fruit under your branches? What type of fruit do you have? Amen. Now, go down to Luke chapter number 6, verse number 44. Goes back to tree you know as you are known. Luke looks at the thorns of men do not gather figs. The thorns cannot grow fruit. They just can't do it. It's not possible for you to do something that you can't. It's something you also can't do is... My father was a preacher. My cousin was a preacher. I can't go over there and steal their fruit and be like, "Lord, this is my fruit." No, it's not. That's his fruit. He watched 43 people under his ministry get saved. You don't have 43 people under your branch. You don't have no fruit. It's nothing you can steal from somebody else and call it your own and get into heaven. That's not how that works. You have to be saved to get into heaven. But I'm talking about after salvation is your fruit. Once you receive the gospel, we're called for to give out the gospel, give out the good news. We need to go out and bring the good news to these people. Grow our fruits so we can give them to the Lord when we get to them. A good man out of the good tree of his heart bringeth forth not which is good, and an evil man out of evil treasures, for his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart is mouth speaketh. What does your mouth speak? Are you speaking bad about everybody else in the church house, out of the church house? Does someone see you and be like, "Oh, I can't even tell the Christian by the way they speak"? We should be known by the way we speak that man's a Christian, that person's following Christ. We should be known as we are known. That's why. that's all I really have for you. What is your fruit? How many fruits do you have underneath your branch?
Amen.
Amen. You know, he's only preached a couple times, but I have watched the progression. I don't know if y'all noticed the progression, but I noticed. First time I ever preached, it was about 3 minutes long. I felt like I preached for an hour and a half. Stood up there and shook like a leaf and just kind of murmured around. So y'all encourage these young men. It's not easy being a preacher in general. It's definitely not easy to be a preacher in the world we live in now. So Brother Teague, you come on up here, put the preach whatever the Lord puts on your heart.
Before I do anything, I want to say thanks to Pastor Lawson for allowing us to go to camp. That was amazing. I had a lot of fun, and we had 5 people saved. It truly was awesome to see. If you'll turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1, we'll look at verses 18 and 19. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. Lord, I thank you for this beautiful evening that you've given me, Lord. I thank you for the people that you've blessed and showed your mercy to for allowing us to be here, Lord. We could do nothing in our flesh, Lord. I pray that you'd hide me behind the cross. I pray that this message would go to the people that need to hear it, Lord. In your precious, sweet, holy name I pray. Amen. So if you look at verse 18, at the end it says to war a good warfare. That is to fight. You can't be a Christian and just let your sin constantly devour you and not try or at least make any attempt to just quit. It's easy to look at sin on whenever you're walking a straight path. It's easy for you'd see distractions all along the way, but Jesus tells us that we should walk a straight and narrow path, the path of righteousness, in order to actually be a Christian. Lucas tells us all the time in his lessons that you can be saved and not a Christian, and that is very true. And you can do just enough to get to heaven, but then you won't actually have any fruit, like Peyton just preached about. That was really good. And fruit is important to see if someone's actually living how they're supposed to be. An example that I could give is Abby and Dominic. Abby brought Dominic to church a few years ago, and now he's grown to be one of my best friends. He got saved, and then Dominic invited 3 other people, and they also got saved. And that's a beautiful example of the fruit that someone can show and give out, and that shows that Abby is good. She's where she's supposed to be. And whenever it says to war a good warfare, your sin's constantly going to tell you to do all the bad things. If you look at Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would do not, but the evil which I would do not that I do. Jump down to verse 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Skip 24, 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve in the law of God, but with the flesh of the law of sin. You see here that Paul, when he's writing Romans, tells us that he wants to do the good, but his flesh holds him back from doing that good. He wants to do what's right, but his flesh constantly tells him not to do what's right, because your flesh is powerful and deceitful and a liar, and it'll tell you that if you do something just one time, it won't be that bad. Your flesh will tell you that it's good to do this or that it'll feel good for a moment, but then at the end of the day, it's a sin, which you shouldn't do. And every time you sin, you crucify Jesus again. Jesus is inside of you, and it grieves his spirit for you to sin over and over again, time and time again.
Right.
And something I want to urge you to do is to actually fight. Don't don't just give up whenever times get rough. In 19, it tells us that which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. Don't just throw away your faith because you have a trial in your life. All right? It's important to stick with it. I want to encourage you the best I can to not give up in a trial or whenever your faith might be dwindling. It doesn't matter what it may be, but I promise you the Lord has a better plan for you. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, it says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it may be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Sticking to your faith through all these trials will be rewarded. You're not doing it for nothing, I can assure you that. And I can assure you that if you sit in church and you think that this is just a fairy tale, that it's not just a fairy tale and it's something real. God isn't something that you just joke about. God is something real. Hell is real and heaven is real. Hell, it's impossible for us as humans to picture and to like actually think and comprehend eternity. We work on a schedule, a time-to-time basis. We worry about what's going to happen at 4 p.m. this evening or tomorrow or the next week. But whenever you're in hell, time won't matter because you're going to be in that time forever. Lava, you will feel your eyes melt out of your skull. You will feel your hair get sizzled off. You will feel your teeth and your tongue melt. It will enter through your mouth and it'll go into your stomach and you will be on fire from the inside out. There's nothing you can do to get out of there because God's given you the opportunity, but you've thrown it away and you've wasted your chance. I encourage you to try and get out of your sin too. Please don't just give up, as I said, just because you're having a hard time. All right, we've all had hard times. I guarantee you, Pastor Lawson's had some hard times. He's the pastor of the church, and he's been in the ministry for 50 years. And look at him. You're still here. You're healthy. Praise God. And you're best pastor that in America. And don't put away your faith and give up because something's hard. A lot of the homeless people you see on the side of the road, how much of them do you think were in church at one point? Were following God at one point? And they came across a trial. Maybe their mom died, a friend died. You never know what it could be. Everyone goes through something different. Everyone's walk with God is different. And they've thrown away their faith because they're like, well, if God's good, why'd this happen? God gave us free will, all right? And he's allowing us to sin, or he's allowing us to either come into the church and listen to what Pastor has to say or Lucas has to say, but you can throw it away, and you can harden your heart, and you will put away your faith, and it will ruin your life. And be thankful for what you've got, too. It's something that a lot of people, I myself, struggle with, is to be thankful. God, I mean, it's easy to take into your, or to give into your pride and think, well, I got here on my own. I drove the car. I woke up. I set the alarm. You wouldn't have anything if it wasn't for God. You wouldn't have had that alarm. You wouldn't have had the fingers. It's very important to be thankful. The Bible says to give thanks always. Always. For every man to give thanks. You can't just come in here and expect God to speak to you when your pride is so high. You just have too much of yourself. You live in a mirror. You think, I look great today. Look at me. Got best skin in town. It's so easy. Or you live on your phone and you can't get enough of, what's this person going to think of me? How good do I look? Your looks don't get you to heaven. I got a suit. Lucas gave me the suit. It's a nice suit, but it's not going to get me to heaven. All right? Coming up here behind the pulpit, it's not going to get me to heaven. There's one thing that can get to heaven, and that's a person, and that person is salvation, and that salvation is Jesus Christ, amen. His blood, and his blood only. Amen. Your flesh will deceive you, and it'll tell you, this is just, it's hocus pocus, it's not real. I've never seen God, you can't prove God. Before I was saved, I did not believe, and science was my favorite thing. I loved science a lot. And the moment I got saved, it instantly flips in your mind just how amazing God is to make everything work in order. If you just look outside in that grass right there, there's a perfect ecosystem working together that's going to make it all work. And life, two gases didn't hit each other. The universe isn't infinite. The universe started from a point, and it allowed, that was God, and allowed us to be here and to magnify Christ. But you have too much pride and you care too much about yourself that you just want to glorify your flesh. It is important to humble yourself before the Lord and to actually come to him, share your burdens with him, talk to him, have fellowship, because Jesus Christ is the best friend you'll ever have. Amen. Lucas is a great friend. Brody's a great friend. Dominic's a great friend, but they can't love me. It's just not possible to love me as much as Jesus does. No matter who tells you how much they love you, they don't love you as much as Jesus does. His blood allowed us that he died, literally died. He wasn't embarrassed of your sin whenever he died on the cross. God was so humble, he became a man, 100% man and 100% God, and died on the cross and went through pain none of us can imagine. And he did it all because he loves us. I just want to come up here and tell you, don't give up. It's important not to give up. You will be rewarded heavily and heavily and heavily, and you will receive blessings on blessings on blessings. Lucas, he tells us that one of his best blessings is his wife, Riley. You can understand how thankful he is for her. And we love Riley. I love Riley. She's done a lot for the youth. And, I mean, she's helped a lot with Lucas. And you can't expect a blessing whenever all you do is go out in the world and sin, and you don't care. You see God, and you turn your head away because you're scared of a punishment, to be honest. You're not brave and big and bad and tough because you don't think there's a God, all right? It's important that you humble yourself before him and bring your burdens and cares and to talk to him. It's highly important that you do that. That's all I've got tonight. Thank you for allowing me to be up here, Pastor. Again, thank you for coming.
Amen. One man once told me, who you marry will break or make your ministry. I haven't been married long, but so far, she hasn't broken it, okay? So far. Thank you, Lord. I'm just kidding. All right, well, I know some of y'all are like, man, we've been here forever, but this is a good place to be, isn't it? Amen. It's a good place to be. It's good. You know, when I went to Mexico on a mission trip once to preach revival, me and four other guys got up and preached. It was like 2.5 hours long, and we were like, all right, we're done. The people were like, no, we want more. We stayed there for like 7 hours. Maybe we should do that tonight. That'd be good for some of us, wouldn't it? Hey, man. All right, I know that Miss Kaylin was wanting to sing tonight with Miss Brooklyn, so I'm going to ask Miss Kaylin and Miss Brooklyn to come up and sing, and